If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Most times, the things keeping you single are not you, how you look, your body type, because I feel like we put too much weight on the physical. Most of the time, it ain't the physical, because everybody on 600-pound life is wifed up. Yo, party people, it's Ashley of SingleWomanChronicles.com, where being single is a beautiful choice rather than a miserable circumstance. And how are you, beautiful people? I hope you are doing well. I hope you guys are having a great April. You know, April was supposed to be my month of rest, and I was deceived because I've yet to rest, honey. I don't know about y'all, but I really struggle with resting. And I know a lot of that has to do with constantly being in survival mode. I don't know if any of you out there struggle with survival mode, but like, it's really a thing. So if you're unfamiliar with what survival mode is, it's like you're constantly tense because you're constantly trying to survive. And usually people who grew up poor or people who had to like struggle, usually it's like surrounding finances or surrounding safety, you're constantly in a mood of survive. I'm a big fan of Kev on stage, and he often talks about it because like he grew up poor and how now he's rich, but oftentimes he doesn't even buy things that he wants because he's constantly thinking, I could be poor tomorrow. So like I'm going to keep working really hard because survival mode won't let me rest. And it's really sucky when you are in that survival mode, because me, I grew up single parent household. My mom did her best, but she had two kids and she was young and she didn't go to college. So she really just had to do what she had to do. And I really applaud her because honestly, being a 34-year-old woman with no kids and I work a lot, and I'm like, I can only imagine the stressors of being a single mom who's young, trying to juggle kids and work and surviving. Like, how do y'all do it? So if there are any single mothers watching, I applaud you. I don't know how you do it. You are a superwoman and you should applaud yourself. You should pat yourself on the back because it is not easy. It is definitely not easy. But just growing up in survival mode, I'm constantly, because it's a little bit of survival mode and it's a little bit of that like poverty mindset. Now, I've been fighting like that spirit of lack for a long time, because when you grow up in those circumstances, even when you have abundance, you still feel like you don't have enough. So I battle those spirits just constantly. Y'all know I'm a Christian, so I be casting out spirits, breaking evil covenants with lack, breaking evil covenants with poverty, things of that nature, but it's still a daily struggle. So if you are someone and you constantly feel like you are in survival mode, just understand that you are not alone. But when it comes to breaking that pattern of survival, you have to learn to trust more people than yourself. And the first person you need to trust is the Lord, okay? You have to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now listen, it's way easier said than done because I still struggle with it. The reason I don't rest is because when you go through seasons and periods of droughts, when you didn't have it, as soon as you get into a season of abundance where you do have more opportunities to make money, you're going to constantly say yes. And you're not going to give yourself time to like rest. You're not going to say no. You're just going to be like, yes, yes, yes. I struggle with that. So I'm trying to be intentional right now in my season of rest. And I know it sounds like, dang, shouldn't rest be easy? You're tired, just lay down. No, it's not for the survival mindset. It's not. Because when your brain says go. You don't listen to your body. Like me, my brain always wins over my body, and it's sad. Because, you know, they say you should listen to your body. If you're tired, you should lay down. No, if my brain tells me I can go, I will go. Even if I'm on 10% of energy, I will go. So y'all just be in prayer for your girl. If you really do be seeking the Lord, don't be praying that evil against me. But yeah, just really struggling with that spirit of survival and just trying to overcome that and just trying to force myself to rest and know that it's not going to fall apart. Because I literally be feeling like if I rest, everything's going to fall apart. And then when I say no to that one opportunity, the money that I could have used for that, something's going to come up and then I'm going to need it. Just be so much, y'all. So I'm doing this podcast right now, recording before church, and hopefully the pastor got something to say to you, girl. I was just listening to Pastor Furtick. I love me some Elevation Church. And he was just saying, when you get in those seasons where you don't know what to do, you just have to say certain prayers like, Lord, you know such and such. Show me how. So, for example, Lord, you know that I need to rest, and you know that you have everything and you will not forsake me, and you have not forsaken the righteous. Show me how to rest and trust in you for those moments when I feel anxious or I feel unable to rest. So I feel like somebody needed that, because child, I needed it. Okay. So lately I haven't been posting as much content just because I felt burnt out. I felt really burnt out because I felt like I was trying to force a lot of things. And I'm in this space where I'm very healed. I'm very self-aware. And I don't do a lot of the things that I used to do. I don't bump my head a lot. I've just overcome so much, right? So I'm like super mature in where I am. So oftentimes I struggle to remember that girl that I was, because I'd be feeling like, oh, I need to be that girl in order to pull content or know what other people are thinking so that I know what to talk about and what they struggle with. And then I had to like come to terms with it. Like, no one wants to be taught how to be rich by somebody broke. No one, like T.D. Jakes said that, no one wants to be taught how to be healed by somebody who's still sick. So I need to embrace the space that I'm in, that I am healed. So I don't believe that you guys would want to speak to me or listen to me or take advice from me if I was still that girl. So I need to embrace the fact that I have overcome so I can help you guys overcome, because I've been there, done that, and we ain't going back, child. Peace feels too good, okay? But I also realize that, y'all know my motto is, being single is a beautiful choice rather than a miserable circumstance, right? That's the motto. But what's the mission? And I realized that my mission is to help you guys overcome the obstacles keeping you single. And I had to overcome those obstacles because I had several. You know, I had issues with anxious attachment style. I had issues with abandonment. I had issues with pacing. I had issues with mommy and daddy issues. So I've overcome all of those things, right? And I realized, okay, these were the things I felt were keeping me single or hindering me in my love life. So let me help you guys overcome that, because most times the things keeping you single are not you, how you look, your body type. Because I feel like we put too much weight on the physical. Most of the time it ain't the physical, because everybody on 600 pound life is wifed up and boot up. And I'd be like, yo, what's going on? So that's proof that we put too much weight on the fact that, oh, I need to look different, or if I look like this, if I was shaped like that, or if I had this body type, then I would be in a relationship. But no, that's not the case. Because I know several people, again, everybody on 600 pound life is wiped up. That's not what's keeping you single. Most of the time it's an internal thing. It's how you view yourself. It's, do you feel that you're worthy? It's, what's your type? It's, are you vetting people? So today I wanted to talk about a subject that will help you overcome things that may be keeping you single, which is the vetting process. I feel like oftentimes a lot of women you skip over the vetting process because maybe you've been single for a long time and you just ready to get it popping. Or maybe you've been having your eye on this guy for a long time and he's just great and you just want to be with him and you don't think you need to vet him because he's good on paper. Or maybe you've envisioned this guy in your mind and he's just that person and he's just on this pedestal. And so you got on a pedestal syndrome. That's something I made up. And you think because he's on this pedestal, you don't need to vet him. It's a lie. It's a lie. So I want to help y'all to vet men properly so you don't end up wasting your time in these dating spaces too quickly. I mean, wasting your time in these dating spaces and just falling for somebody so quickly, that's what I meant to say, that you lose sight of the vetting process because it's necessary. Especially out here, this is like a sidebar. Y'all know diseases out here going crazy, right? Like, it's a lot of diseases out here, right? Because back in my day, I say that because I'm a TT, because I'm 34, y'all, I'm TT. Back in my day, we had the Wrap It Up campaign. We had the HIV testing constantly. Like, we were constantly being told to wear condoms and to get tested. I don't see that no more. I don't see none of it because we would hear it in TV shows, commercials, on the radio, everywhere. But now you don't see characters using a condom in TV shows. You don't see people, because, yo, I literally just watched House Party, and House Party was like the early 90s, I think 1990 or something like that, and dude had a condom. When was the last time you saw somebody pull out a condom and put it on in a TV show? Like, it's really ridiculous, right? How many times do you see somebody go get tested? You saw people go get tested and talk about HIV and stuff like that on TV shows. We don't talk about that no more. So a part of, like, the vetting process, I didn't put this in my notes, but I just felt like it was a need. Like, back in the day, I'm not even, because y'all know I'm celibate, but before I would have sex with somebody, when I was having sex, we would go to the clinic together. We would go to the free clinic. There was one, I forgot the name of it, in Atlanta that I would go to because they would let you go in with your person. Y'all both could get tested for HIV and all the other STDs. The only one they weren't testing for was herpes, because you got to get a blood drawn for herpes, I believe. And they were only doing a swab. And so you would go in, you would get tested, and they would tell you y'all results in the room together. And I felt like if we about to get it popping, we need to be safe, right? So I feel like we need to go back to that. And I also think, like, both of y'all set up an appointment and then, like, have those results. Like, all I'm saying, be safe, because I'm not one to be like, because my walk is different from your walk. I'm not telling you not to have sex, but I am telling you to be safe if you are out there having sex, because I live in Atlanta and I think we're number three on the rising rate of HIV, and it is insane because a lot of people are just normalizing diseases, and that's not a good thing. So be safe out there. Just definitely wanted to put that disclaimer out here. But let's jump into these ways on how to vet men quickly. I often tell y'all that God don't play about me, because he be snatching people up out my life so expeditiously. And I'll be like, dang, God, I was just starting to have fun. And then he'd be like, bloop, pluck, 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 pluck. And it's always because the first thing I do when I meet anybody, I don't care where I meet them, how I meet them, who it is, I don't care. The first thing I do is pray. The first thing I do is pray. Okay. And I know it sounds taboo. I know you're like, oh, maybe God, because I used to struggle with praying to God about my love life, just because I'm like, oh, he got too much other stuff to do. He ain't worried about my love life. Yes, he is. He's worried about everything. So I say the same prayer every single time. God, if he's for me, let him stay. If he is not, let him go away quickly. It is that simple. And when I tell you, God takes it personally every single time. Okay. And I never skip a beat. I could walk outside today, be walking to my mailbox, someone pull up on me, try to talk to me, we exchange numbers. As soon as I get back in my car, God, if he is for you, let him stay. If he is not, let him go away quickly. And they be going away quickly, honey. Okay, so, and then sometimes it's not necessarily that they'll go away or do something. Sometimes it's just God will reveal, like, y'all just may not be as compatible as you would need. Or God will reveal a lesson he's trying to teach me in a situation. Like, for example, okay, this person is cool. Keep rocking with them because I'm trying to show you how to be more patient. or I'm trying to show you, I'm revealing you your attachment style, or I'm revealing to you how you don't speak up for yourself and you need to speak. So a lot of them be tests, but most of them gotta be like, nah, get that up out of here. So the first thing you do to vet men quickly is to pray about it. I know a lot of times we don't be wanting to pray about it because that man's so fine. You know that man ain't the one for you. Because here's the thing. We have way more wisdom than we put on. But because oftentimes we just want to date who we want to date and do who we want to do and do what we want to do, that we ignore it. We don't even care. We don't even be trying to vet nobody because we just want to do what we want to do, right? And then we be all crying because we be feeling like, oh, I should have listened to God. You should have prayed about it because you knew better. And I did want to talk about how sometimes we get into seasons where we're lonely, right? And it feels like our husband is taking too long. It feels like our person, our soulmate is taking way too long. So we feel like, okay, this person's taking too long. So let me just get my something to do. I talk about this all the time. So you get your something to do and you think, okay, it's just something to do. I'm not going to catch feelings. Yes, you will. If you have been empty in a space for too long, no matter how you try to fill it, when you fill that space, you're going to be comfortable. Like, you're going to have some type of satisfaction, right? And because you have some kind of satisfaction, you're going to start being attached to that satisfaction. Think about it like you being thirsty, right? You've been thirsty all day and you ain't seen, for some reason, you couldn't get to no water. You couldn't get to no soda, no juice, no nothing. You pull up to a spot and finally somebody offer you some Gatorade and it's red and you don't like red. You really prefer yellow. But because the red is there, you're like, okay, let me drink this red. You're going to drink that red and you're going to want more of that red if that's all that's available at the time, right? And then you may get attached to that red because that's the only thing that's available at the time. The same goes with someone who's just your something to do. So oftentimes we go into situations and we're like, oh, this ain't that serious. It's just casual. It's just something to do at the time until my man comes. And then you end up falling for your something to do. And you see memes out here like, dang, I went through relationship problems and I wasn't even in a relationship because you fell into something to do. So please don't even do that to yourself. Please just pray about somebody. And when God tell you to move, I need you to move. Because y'all be out here praying. I know y'all do because I used to do this. You be praying and God tell you no and you still be like, I heard you, God, but I'm going to keep moving. As if God going to change his mind. God usually has three answers. No, yes, or not yet, right? And if he gives you a no, he don't change his mind. Now, he'll often give you a not yet. And I've even had seasons where a yes turned to a no, where there was somebody I was dating and God was like, all right, that's cool. But then under these conditions, you can have this person unless. So the first time I started my celibacy journey, it was in the beginning of 2017 in January. I met someone and I had been talking to someone prior to that. Because this is like me transitioning out of my relationship. So I was talking to this guy. He knew like everything I was going through. I was getting over my ex. I was like practicing celibacy or whatever, whatever. So, but me and him were talking. So of course I started teetering the lines. He didn't live here. I started going out there to see him. We ended up having sex, right? So this was the beginning of 2017. That's why I celebrate in April because it wasn't January because I ended up slipping up. So when I was dating him, God was like, yes, it's cool to date him. Great person, whatever. But you can't have sex with him. So as soon as I had sex with him, that yes became a no. Because God has said, I told you can have him, but you don't need to have sex with him. Now it's a no. Now you need to leave it alone because you're not strong enough to maintain this relationship and maintain your celibacy. And I was like, God dang. So I had to cut him off. We still cool because he's an amazing human, but I had to cut it off. So God often answers that. So when he tells you no, please, please, I'm begging you to take heed to that no, because you're going to end up busted and disgusted with a no. Because usually God don't be telling me, and I did not mean to go on this topic for so long, but it's just real. God don't often tell me just a flat out no on some people. Most of the time it's kind of like they're cool people. They're just not your person. But when he be like flat out no, that's the devil people. That's Satan and them folks. Okay. So when he tell you no, take heed to that no and move. Move on accordingly. I don't care how fine he is. I don't care how much money he got. I don't care how many flowers he buying you. I don't care how he love bombing you. Get out. Okay. Number two, tell him what you want, but not who you want. and see how he responds. So we live in this day and age where people be like, oh, don't tell people, you know, what you want, because they're going to become that person, mimic that person in order to get you, just to manipulate you. Okay, cool. I get that. But I feel like many times we get timid about what we actually want in a relationship because we're scared. If we state what we actually want, we're scared.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Somebody away. For example, I want marriage. I want a relationship that leads to marriage. Anytime a man asks me what I want right now, I say I want a relationship that leads to marriage, because that is the truth. That is what I want. I'm not going to tell you the who I want the relationship is. Like, I'm not going to tell you, oh, I like this guy who does XYZ. I like men who do this. I like men. I'm not telling you all that. But I am going to tell you what I want. We need to stop being meek about that, because we oftentimes end up in relationships with men who want to take it slow because we didn't state what we wanted up front. So be okay and be bold in what you want up front, because you can erase a lot of nonsense. A lot of us, the reason we don't state what we want is because we're so tired of not having that companionship. So we want to teeter around that because we like, dang, if I tell him directly what I want, he may leave and then I'll end up back at square one. That's okay. That's okay, because why would you even want the appetizer when you actually want a full meal? Like, if you're really hungry for your person, you're really hungry for your soulmate, why would you settle just for the appetizer? Why wouldn't you wait for the whole meal, right? So just be careful about that and be okay with saying, I want a relationship that leads to marriage, if that is actually what you want. And you can be somebody... Sorry, my sinuses is sinuses. It's sinusing. But you can meet somebody and they can be the bomb.com. They can be dope. But the timing can just be off. They can be like, no, I don't want a relationship right now. I'm so sorry. And that's okay. And now some guys, what I've come across is there are men out here. It's not everybody. That's why I said some. There are men out here who will often tell you up front, I don't want a relationship, and expect you to continue to date them because they told you up front and they still want you. They just don't want a relationship with you, right? And they believe just because they told you up front that you should respect that and keep moving with them. No. And I think too many women continue to do that. And that's no, you shouldn't do that. Draw that line in the sand, because that's a test from them. Because if you keep dealing with them after they told you they don't want a relationship, but you told them that you do, they're going to be like, she'll look gullible. I feel like I can play her. Don't even do that. I've had several situations where I've sat at a table with somebody and the first thing they ask, what do you want? I want a relationship that leads to marriage. And they'd be like, oh yeah, I'm really not looking for that. Oh, okay, cool. Had a great time at the date. We wrapped that date up. They paid that check. Deuces. Never talk to them again. They hit me up. What did you hit me up for? I told you what I wanted. You didn't want that. That's like me going to a job interview and they're telling me, hey, you know, we're not hiring for your position right now, but we just still want you to come in and work for free. Why would I do that? That doesn't make sense. That don't make sense. So be sure that when you tell somebody, I want a relationship that leads to marriage, if they are not ready for that, be ready to walk away. Never be afraid to walk away from a situation. That's why you have to date with an abundant mindset. When you date with a scarcity mindset, you feel like every person is the last person. I used to say that. I used to speak that negativity into my life. I used to say stuff like, oh, I only meet someone like once a year that I connect with. Oh, I only blah, 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 blah. It's only a few guys that I do. I don't say that no more. Like, no, no. Like Pastor Glorilla said, if I lose a man, I just pop out and go find some more. Like, that's the mindset you have to have. So never be afraid to walk away. Number 3, listen more, talk less. Let me tell y'all something. I used to be chatty Cathy when it came to dating. Like, I used to tell people, oh, this is what I want to do in my life. This is what I got going on, blah, blah, blah. I don't do none of that no more. I sit back and I listen and I observe. I observe if a man is asking me about me. I observe how much he enjoys talking about himself and not implementing me into the conversation. I pay attention to how supportive he is when I tell him. Like, if he asks me a question like, oh, you know, what you doing today? And I say, I'm recording my podcast. If he don't give me a follow-up question like, oh, what podcast? What's your podcast about? What's your platform? Okay, I pay attention to that. I don't force that information. I don't get mad about it. I just keep moving on. Mental note, sticky note. That's it. You can learn a lot about a person, not even just men. You can learn a lot about a person by just listening. If you ask the right questions, and if you're really, because I'm really good at conversations. So if you're just really good at asking the right question, listening, asking them questions you will want someone to ask you, and listening for those answers, and listen to see if they ask you that too, to really get to know you, that'll tell you a lot. And what I find a lot is a lot of men just be wanting their ego stroke. They don't want you. They just want their ego stroke. And if I notice that up front and I notice that this person is not asking me about me, guess what I do? I slowly disappear. I'm like that Homer Simpson meme when he slide back into them trees. That's me. Because no, I know I want someone who cares about what I care about. I know I want someone who wants to be supportive, who wants to know about me, because it's even. So really talk less, listen more. Ask them more questions. Because I think women, we be wanting like the guy to really like us, to really know us. So we pour out all this stuff and he ain't even listening to you. He just waiting on you to finish so he could tell you what he's doing. So listen more, talk less. That has like cut out so many people for me because these folks will shoot themselves in the foot so quick. I be like, oh, okay, I heard that. Mm-hmm. I'm blocking and deleting him as he's texting. It's crazy. Number four, tell the person who loves you the most about that person. So I know. So my best friend, when it comes to reading people, it's Jesus, then her. Like literally, sis ain't never been wrong. Track record is 10 out of 10. Like this girl's so good. Cause I wish everybody had a her. This girl's so good that I could tell her in a conversation, hey, I met this guy. His name is such and such, blah, 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 blah. And she'd be like, something ain't right. I ain't got to show her no picture. She ain't got to meet this person. And she ain't never been wrong, ever been wrong. She knows how to read a character through her spirit. It's just an amazing thing to have. But I feel like oftentimes we try to hide the people we meet from our friends because we feel like, oh, we just met them. We shouldn't know. No, get them in there early. Get your friends involved early. Not every friend. Just that one friend that loves you the most, who has seen you through the most, and they're really wise, so they can tell you the truth about situations, and you know they're not hating, you know they're not gossipy, and you know they're not trying to, like, you know they got your best interest at heart. Tell that person, hey, I met somebody. This is how it's going. This is how we vibe, and this is how we talking. Like, after at least, like, you know, the first 2 weeks or so, be okay. As long as you know, okay, they're in the door, I can see myself talking to them. Then tell the person that you care about, that cares about you most, because they're going to be like, okay, they can see your blind spots. They can see stuff you don't see. They can see stuff you overlook. They can see red flags that you be like, oh, that's not a red flag. That's a pink flag. They can see that stuff. So go ahead and tell them, because they can get somebody up out of there who don't need to ever be in there. Okay. Go ahead and tell them. Number five. Speak up about what you want and what you don't like. So I find that when we really like someone, we have a tendency to let a lot of stuff slide in the beginning because we're like, I don't want to pick that argument. I don't want to rock the boat because I don't want to make them upset, because if I make them upset, we're so early. We're so fresh in this thing. They may walk away, blah, blah, blah. Nope. I speak up, but I'm a direct communicator, but I'm never mean. Like, I'm never vicious. I'm just like, I didn't like that you did that. Can you not do that next time? So I remember a few months ago, like in December, somebody made a comment that I was talking to. And we had just started talking. It had only been like 2 or 3 days. And he made a comment that I did not like. And I said, hey, I didn't really like that comment. It made me uncomfortable. And he shut down. Like, He was like, oh, okay, my bad. But he started acting different. And, like, he started being weird. And, like, he just stopped talking to me. But then, like, last month, he kept hitting me up trying to see me. No, you cannot see me. Because you acted like a little brat. Because I confronted something that bothered me. It was just a small thing. It was nothing crazy. I literally was just like, hey, you know, I just don't like that. And he got offended because of something I didn't like that he said. It was so small. And it's just like, if you can't be an adult and have communication and approach conflicts in a mature way where we find a solution and move forward, we can't talk. And I think that's how we get messed up a lot, because we will be conflict avoidant in these relationships or in these dating phases. And we don't address it. And so when you end up in a relationship with that person, you feel like you got to walk on eggshells with them because you can't address any conflict because you didn't address any in the beginning. So now all the stuff that you didn't like in the beginning then got worse in a relationship because you didn't address the conflict. So be clear about what you want. Never be afraid to say, hey, you know, I don't like that. Say it in a nice way. Don't be angry about it. Just be like, hey, you know, you said such and such, whatever. For example, I've been talking to this guy, and y'all know I say nigga a lot. I'm trying. I'm working on it. I promise. I'm working on it. But we were having a conversation, and I slipped up and was like, my nigga, like, why would you say that? And he was like, hey, you know, I don't like when people call me nigga. I don't use the word, whatever, whatever. And I was like, oh, dang, thank you for telling me. I will watch how I will catch myself and work on not even using that word around you because I know you're not comfortable with that. Y'all see how simple that was? I did not get mad at him. I did not get offended. I did not try to argue with him on why we saying nigga is cool. No, if he had a problem with that and that's just something uncomfortable, that's fine. I'm not finna, because it's certain stuff I don't want you to say to me. So, yeah, so that's what I mean by like being okay with addressing certain things, because that will show you how someone handles conflict. And how someone handles conflict is so important, because you'll learn communication, you'll learn anger like issues, anger management, you'll learn how someone how they deal with anger or how they deal with confrontation, if they shut down, if they communicate, if they get mad, if they try to punish you with the silence. You'll learn so much. So be sure to address that conflict upfront. I got two more. Number six, pay attention to how they make you feel and not how you feel about them. I'm gonna say it again. Pay attention to how they make you feel and not how you feel about them. Baby, 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 we got to do better, because we be out here. Jasmine Sullivan, she did it the best. Jasmine Sullivan has a song called I'm in Love with Another Man. And in this song, she talks about how there's this wonderful man in her life who loves her so much and who treats her so great, but she's in love with another man who treats her horribly because of how she feels about him. And that sums up what I'm trying to say. Oftentimes we fall in love with these people because they look good, because the chemistry is hitting right. If you're having sex with them, you dematized, and you know what dematized mean. I don't got to fill in them blanks for you. And just being in their presence just does something to you. The fact that they chose you, you're just so elated, and you find yourself choosing these humans because of how you feel about them, but not how they make you feel. Because even though you hold them on this high regard, on this pedestal, they make you feel like crap. They make you question yourself, your worth. They make you feel like you are not a priority, but you are an option for them. They make you wonder where y'all stand. What are we? They got you basically pulling teeth to get them to open up. Stop. Stop. Pay attention. Listen. The first time a man makes me question my worth, how I feel, how he feels about me, or where we stand, I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. I'm going to address it, because I'm not one to just be like, all right, deuces. I'm going to be like, hey, what's going on? Like, what's going on with this? If they give me an indirect answer, if they deflect, if they try to brush me off, okay, well, you know, I'm the type of person who I need to be certain and secure in where we stand. And I feel like you are not ready for that type of relationship. So that is okay. This was great while it lasted, but I'm going to go ahead and leave. I'm about. Pay attention, because when you're in a relationship, no, it's not all about you. It's definitely not all about you, but it's give and take, right? You don't want to be fulfilling all of that person's needs and they're fulfilling none of yours. The only thing they're fulfilling is they look good, they sexy you good, they're good company, y'all have fun together, but are they fulfilling your emotional needs? Are they fulfilling your mental needs? Are they fulfilling your spiritual? Well, God gonna fulfill your spiritual needs, but you know what I mean, okay? So pay attention. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to Jasmine Sullivan, I'm in Love with Another Man, and she describes it perfectly, I'm telling you. And last but not least, head first, heart second, body last. I know this is contrary to culture, very contrary to culture, but I believe that if you lead with your head first, because that's where your wisdom is, and God says to guard your heart because all other things flow from it, and then your body last, you will vet people so much quicker. Of course, when I became celibate, my eyes were way more clear, because when sex is not clouding your judgment, you can move way differently. You can cut off things quicker. A lot of times we hold on to relationships longer when we're having sex with people because we're not necessarily in love, but we're in attachment. We're attached to that person because we just had sex with them. And, you know, that sex feels good. So you're like, and women, you know, like, oh, I don't want to increase my body count, so I'm going to just keep giving this person. We be doing too much. So if you lead with your head first, you, all the things I just said, you vetting these people, you're not allowing your feelings to get involved before you can see, okay, is this a person a good match for me? You're really leading with your head. Then once you begin to say, okay, I feel like I can trust this person, let me open up my heart a little bit to see if we can make this connection, because you see they're opening up their heart too. Y'all have established what y'all are doing. Y'all are intentionally dating. Y'all are trying to get planned for a wedding, or I mean, not a wedding. Y'all are trying to plan for a relationship, maybe engagement, whatever. Y'all know what y'all doing. Y'all on the same page, going the same pace. Then you can open up your heart, see what that do. And then once that is aligned, then you need to be thinking, then that's when you think about giving your body. A lot of y'all be leading body, head, heart. No, a lot of y'all actually be leading body, heart, head. He hit it real quick. Then now you in lust. I ain't gonna say in love because that's not what it is, but now you attach, you in lust, your heart is open, and then you want to figure it out in the headspace and what y'all doing in the logistics after you done gave him your body and your heart. That don't make sense. So I need you to be head, heart, body, okay? It really goes in order. Head, heart, down there, okay? All right? This is TT talk, okay? TT's talking, all right? TT gonna tell you the truth, because if you leave with your head and your heart, listen, one of the flexes that I have internally, because I don't say this out loud because I'm petty, but I'm not that petty. When a guy does something dumb and we end up parting, one of my favorite things to say internally is, but he ain't get no coochie though. It just really brings me joy. And I want it to bring you joy, because if this person unplays you, it feels so good to not have given them such a huge part of yourself. Now, I know culture doesn't value sex as much anymore, but I value it. I value my body. I value giving you this vajayjay. I value that. And I want you guys to value it too. So we need you to lead head, heart, vajayjay, right? Because I want you too to be able to say, he ain't getting no Gucci though. It's just a wonderful feeling. It's just a wonderful feeling when you can tell, we ain't get no coochie though. It's chef's kiss, because they ain't get no coochie though. All right, y'all. I feel like this episode was good. It was good to me. I hope it was good to you. Well, y'all like, comment, and share. Let me know what you think. And yeah, bet these men. It's about to be summertime. Y'all outside. I hope y'all outside, because y'all know I'll be outside. Bet these men properly. All right, until next time. Oh, yeah. Be sure to give me 5 stars on Spotify, on Amazon, on Apple Podcasts. If you ain't giving me 5 stars, don't rate, because I don't need y'all disrespecting my reviews. Share this, subscribe to the channel on YouTube, and yeah, comment below. Let me know what y'all think. Till next time, bye.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.